Bloody Good Film Podcast! Hello and welcome to a podcast about the only two genres of film that matter.
Action horror.
I am your host, Jesse. With me as always, the Riggs to my Murtaugh, Josh. This is the Bloody Good Film Podcast. So here we are, Josh, a podcast, 9 years in the making since we've been friends. We've always talked about it. Finally here, the pilot episode number one. How do you feel?
I mean, I'm good about it. We've been bullshitting about this forever. Like, every single conversation that we have is, you know, this would make a really good podcast.
And for those of us who don't know Josh and I, we're two different people. Like, totally. Josh loves music, comics, riding his bike. I like sports, fashion.
Fashion part's always been weird to me because I don't think a guy should have more than... I don't want to sound like guys gotta only have this thing, but as a guy myself, as an owner of testicles, I don't think a guy should have 30 fucking shoes. But that's fine. You
can never have too many shoes. But the one thing that's always brought us together, Josh, is movies. Because we started working together at a job at 6 a.m. every day with no one else around, and we went a good 6 or 7 months without saying two words to each other.
That's my preference with coworkers. I still have coworkers that I work with currently. That's why I said still, that I don't even know their fucking names, and I like that. They're my favorite people.
The thing with us, Josh, we probably wouldn't be friends if not for our love of film.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's one movie that started the conversation, and I'm testing your friendship live in the pilot episode. When we first started talking, there was one movie that you talked about that's a little obscure that not everybody knows about that kind of got us to hit it off. What movie was it?
I am not sure. Like, I feel like we did a lot of talking about Trauma. I want to say Toxic Avenger, but I'm not sure on that.
That is exactly right. You are surprisingly a better friend than I thought you would be. You were telling me about Toxic Avenger when I told you I had seen it and that I had recently watched Romeo and Juliet.
Because that is Lemmy of Motorhead, and I'm a big fucking fan of that. I don't give a fuck about Romeo and Juliet, but Romeo and Juliet is my shit right there.
So shout out to Trauma. I'm sure at some point we're going to cover some Trauma, but that's the only reason this podcast is in existence, is because of the Toxic Avenger.
We're 100% going to be talking about Trauma. I got a bunch of Trauma films lined up for this. We're going to go over every single class of Nukem High eventually, because I don't feel like Trauma gets enough credit. There's always like the little niche people that like Trauma, but we're gonna bring it to everybody else.
You know, that's what we're here for. I mean, everyone's seen the big films. Everyone sees, you know, the big blockbuster action films, the high budget horror films, but people miss out on a lot of the gems. The stuff that goes straight to DVD, now goes straight to Netflix. There's a lot of good stuff on there that people just never heard of.
I've never heard anybody actually say gems out loud. But yeah, we're going to find the gems on this shit. Probably shouldn't be drinking while I'm in the middle of talking about shit. But that's what we're going to do. This is going to be an unorthodox podcast in that way, in that I'm already 2 vodkas in, already 2 beers in. It's going to be a more fun podcast that way.
And you know, that's where we're at. So if you're listening, grab a beer, grab some popcorn, buckle up and enjoy the podcast. Josh, what got you into these genres that we're so passionate about? The action and the horror genres.
I was the biggest fucking wuss as a kid. Like, I was scared of everything. I started crying on the line for Indiana Jones the Ride. Just the line. The rocks apparently were scary to me. Eventually, we went to Universal Studios and we saw like the behind the scenes for Psycho. I got interested in that. Surprisingly, it's my mom that introduced me to Psycho, even though she's not a big horror person. But I watched Psycho perfectly fine, not a scary movie for me, until I went to go shower, and suddenly, as I'm trying to shampoo my hair, I can't fucking close my eyes. So I end up actually standing outside the bathtub, splashing water on me from the bathtub, so that Norman Bates or whatever doesn't stab me while I'm shampooing my hair. And just for everybody that's listening to know, I am not a pretty blonde woman, so I had nothing to worry about. But for some reason, I could not stand Psycho. I thought I was going to fucking die in the shower. It's your horror.
You know, my horror goes back to the quintessential, in my opinion, the best slasher movie of the 90s, which is, you know, prime childhood, prime nine-year-old Jesse. What do you think it is, Josh?
I really hope you don't say Scream, because I fucking hate Scream.
It's definitely not Scream. The best slasher movie of the 90s, and I'm going to get a lot of flack for this. I Know What You Did Last Summer.
That's even worse.
That movie does not hold up great, but in the 90s, you have prime cheesy 90s actors. And the recipe for any good horror movie is top-notch cheesy actors. Freddie Prinze Jr., top-notch cheesy actor of the 90s.
Don't like him. He came on 24 eventually. I hate Freddie Prinze Jr. Plus, I really hated him back then because Sarah was my girl and he took her. It did have good-looking women in that movie. I'll give it that. Jennifer Love Hewitt, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Bridget Wilson, Veronica Vaughn. It were fucking fine. That movie, it basically took the old urban legend for Hook Killer and just said, let's make this Hook Killer, but we'll make it Scream. And that's it. That's all it is. It's the Hook Killer urban legend, the killer outside the car door, and then they just made it into a movie.
And it's great.
It's the laziest movie ever made.
It's great. It checks all the boxes of what you want in a beginner slasher. A nine-year-old slasher, that's a perfect introduction. There's murder, there's suspense, there's the whole whodunit aspect of who's chasing these people down, and there's a hook.
Okay, you got me hook, line, and sinker with that one. I got.
And I was hooked. From then on, I was hooked. I Know What You Did Last Summer made me want to figure out, you know, what else is going on in that slasher genre.
Let's see how many times we can get hooked into one conversation about this stupid movie.
You know what, Josh? Nine-year-old Jesse loved it. It made nine-year-old Jesse want to go out and see every other slasher film out there. And I did, as a result of I Know What You Did Last Summer. So thank you, Freddie Prinze Jr., for hooking me into the horror genre.
It was one of the earliest movies I saw in horror. I hate Scream now, but Scream was one of those early ones for me. And then I Know What You Did Last Summer, like, perfect follow-up. It's got pretty women and a killer, but somehow that was worse than Scream for me back then. Like, I never got into I Know What You Did Last Summer, and Sydney versus Jennifer Love Hewitt's character's name, Sydney is nowhere near the talent that Jennifer Love Hewitt is, and I still couldn't get into that shit.
So not only did that film come out in 1998, there was another awful but somewhat enjoyable slasher film. It came out in 1998, Josh. You want to take a guess and tell me what it is?
Urban Legend?
It is Urban Legend. That one's not great. But the scene where they put the chihuahua in the microwave was haunting for nine-year-old Jesse, who always wanted a dog and never got one.
Chihuahuas aren't dogs. They're cats with longer noses. So that didn't really fucking bother me. I wouldn't put a cat in a microwave. I don't want people getting the wrong idea about that. But I never would own a cat and a microwave at the same time is my thing.
I grew up thinking that was going to be a bigger issue than it was. I thought there was going to be a point in my life where someone's dog found its way into the microwave, and I was going to go make some popcorn, threw it in there, and cook the chihuahua. I'm now 31 years old. I haven't had to worry about that, because everyone knows how to keep their dogs out of the microwave.
It's not microwaves that matter. I've heard of this, and it's fucking scary, because I love dogs. Double check your dryers. If you have dogs, double check your dryers, because they might jump into the dryer. I've heard of dog fatalities like that because they love the, like, warm. It shouldn't be warm when you're throwing it in there, so why the hell are they throwing it again? But somehow, dogs are ending up in dryers, and people are doing it, and the dogs do not come off fluffy and dry. They come off less alive and happy. I'd be happy never seeing Urban Legend, I Know What You Did Last Summer, ever again. Because of Scream 5's coming out, or it's actually just called Scream again, because that's not confusing it at all. we'll eventually go through those, even though I don't like those movies. I was hoping we could avoid I Know What You Did Last Summer.
You know, now that we got people hooked, tell me about your action. What got you into action?
My first action film was not a good one, but it was with a good actor. Like, I was a 7-year-old kid, and I thought Street Fighter was the greatest fucking action movie of all time. Jean-Claude Van Damme, All-American Guile, was the greatest thing ever for me. And now watching it again, he has an accent. Like, I didn't notice that when I was 7 years old. This guy with this big American flag tattoo, supposed to be the ultimate American saving the world. He's the muscles from Brussels, and he can't act. There's terrible action throughout the whole film. The only good actor in that movie is Raul Julia, who actually has one of my favorite lines of any villain ever, despite it being one of the worst movies of all time, completely unwatchable. The day Bison graced your village was the worst day of your life. For me, it was a Tuesday. Perfect Raul Julia. Don't question it.
Yeah, that was solid.
Probably a little off on the line, too, because I'm going off of memory of a movie that, despite owning, I don't think I've watched in like 10 years.
You know, I'm ashamed to say that I actually rewatched that not long ago, because it is such a big part of, you know, childhood culture. You know, growing up playing games, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, those were the ones.
Don't fucking mash that shit.
It does not live up to the childhood memory that I have.
Like, Mortal Kombat, exactly the same game style as Street Fighter, but it's a bad movie, but it's a fun movie. Like, fucking, you got Christopher Lambert. Real quick, Lambert or Lambert? I had arguments with other friends about this.
To me, it's Lambert. I don't see him as a sophisticated enough actor to have an accent like Lambert.
He's fucking French. He was born in America, but he's got a big French thing. It's Christopher Lambert. Highlander, great, one of my favorite actors. He's terrible. He sold Mortal Kombat for me despite not doing much. He just sat there looking badass, saying things with his badass voice, which I'm working on. I'm drinking right now. I want to get the Kiefer Sutherland, Christopher Lambert growl on my voice. And hopefully a couple of years into this podcast, it'll be there for the listeners. But that movie works, despite the fact that it should have been R.
They should all be R. You should never be able to make a Mortal Kombat movie and not rate it R. It's notoriously one of the most violent video games every time it comes out. And we get this slew of PG-13 movies.
Just forget Mortal Kombat Annihilation, despite the fact that when I was a kid, I'm like, I don't get all the... Oh, wait, let me do this right. I don't get all these problems with this Mortal Kombat Annihilation. I love this shit. Yeah, it's unwatchable as an adult. Like, I got excited. There's like 30 Barakas or... No, are they Barakas or Blanca? No, Blanca's Street Fighter.
I'm going to need you to get your movies right.
No, it's a movie podcast. People just want general ideas of these movies. Like, they should be 30 of them. It looks badass. And then watching it as it all is like a bunch of people in bad masks. I don't even think they had blades. I think they just had bald heads and ears. And that was all that we got. We got the animalities or whatever. They didn't do shit. He turned into a dragon for 5 seconds and it's right back to Liu Kang. They wasted everything. If they were going to go PG-13, they should have made it weird. They should have gotten the babalities into there or something. Liu Kang's going up against Shao Kahn or whatever, and then all of a sudden they turn into fucking babies. And then that would be like, what the fuck is this shit? It wouldn't be good, but it'd at least have that what the fuck am I watching thing that, like, you can say, they turn into fucking babies all of a sudden. Terrible movie, but you gotta see it for the fucking scene where they turn into babes all of a sudden.
You know, bright spot, 2021, if we can get through 2020 here, we have another Mortal Kombat movie coming out with an R rating.
It's Michael Jai White coming up in that, right?
Right. Like
as Jack.
It has potential to not suck. And anytime you make a movie based off a video game, that's best case scenario is to make a movie just not suck.
I'm not one of those people that absolutely says there are no good video game action movies or video game adaptations. I fucking love this. I'm going to say I actually like both the Silent Hill movies. The first one is a legitimately good movie. The second one, I was kind of drunk when I saw it. I saw it one time, kind of remember liking it, but I don't remember anything that happened.
You know, best video game movie, not directly based on a video game. 1989, the year I was born, the wizard, Fred Savage, going across the country to play in a Super Mario Brothers tournament. One of the greatest video game movies ever. It still holds up 31 years later.
Is that the Power Glove movie?
That's the Power Glove movie. That's the movie that was made just so they could show off the Power Glove. Nintendo and all its mighty power.
I have never seen that movie. I know Fred Savage for a couple seasons of Wonder Years and for having a huge mole. All right, so we've gotten where we started out in horror, where we started out in action. Where do your preferences lie? Because we both love both of them, but there's definitely got to be some kind of leaning. You can't be one of those people that's like, I love everything equally. That doesn't work. We're not one of those people. We make decisions.
My decision is that you didn't let me tell where I got started in action movies. How can I tell you my preference when these people didn't get the chance to hear how I got into the genre?
I thought this was all about me, but yeah, let's flick to you for a bit. We can make this a Jesse podcast if that's what you want. That's not what the people want, but we'll edit around this. Go ahead, tell us what you like.
What got me into action movies? I was raised by my grandparents. My grandpa, former professional wrestler, total badass, loves action movies. He would come home. If wrestling wasn't on TV, he'd throw an action movie on. And three-year-old Jesse, 1992, my grandpa came home with a VHS. The good old days of the VHS. Terminator 2, Judgment Day. One of the greatest movies of all time. I stand by that. I love it. It's the best Terminator.
Fuck that. No. No. It's a good Terminator. It's a solid Terminator. John Connor annoys the fuck out of me. Terminator 1 is better. But go ahead. Go and give your wrong shit.
T2, the best Terminator.
Second best.
We watched it, I kid you not, every Saturday for what felt like a year. I can still quote that movie almost line by line. It got to the point where it became a problem because the movie and the action in that movie turned me into a bully. My brother, who's younger than I was 3 at the time, which would have made him 2, barely could talk, barely could crawl. I would run up to him and I would say, I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle. And he would go, bleh, and then I would just shove him down. And that happened on the regular to the point where we had to stop watching that movie in this household.
I'm more surprised that we've known each other for this long, and this is me learning that you have a brother that you picked on. I didn't know any of this shit.
Yeah, you know, when I talked about how good of a friend you were, I rescind that now at this point in the podcast. Congrats on being a friend for 20 minutes of the podcast.
I know about Toxic Avenger, but I don't know that you have any fucking brothers. Or you don't have a sister that I'm supposed to know about, right?
I do have a half-sister.
Don't matter. As soon as you get another half, we'll talk about that.
So I grew up watching action movies. It was always meat and potatoes in my house. It was always Stallone. It was always Schwarzenegger. All the big 90s, 80s action stars always going on in the house. So my leaning between horror and action will always be with action. I love, you know, seeing stuff blow up. I love gunfights, westerns, martial arts. Anything where someone's flying through the air and kicking somebody or jumping backwards and shooting a gun at somebody, I'm all in. Whether it's good or bad, I will sit and I will enjoy it.
Hoping you got the logo wrong because I was like, I'm the action guy here, but I kind of lean the same way. But I got into a little bit later. Like, I was the family movie guy for a little bit, and then eventually it turned into like, I got to be a little bit more badass, and then Total Recall and Stallone shit are what really, like, I think the movie that made me more action than horror is First Blood, because Stallone is the ultimate action star for me. More than Arnold, more than Bruce Willis, Stallone embodies action.
All right, so let's do it. Stallone versus Arnold. Who has the better movies?
Stallone, easily.
Over the Governator.
You got 5 First Blood movies. 3 of them are pretty damn good. You got the Rocky movies. 6 out of 8 of them are pretty good. I'm not going to count Creed 2 was garbage. Rocky 5 was garbage. But other than that, fucking amazing shit. Demolition Man, Tango and Cash, Cobra, not to mention the fact that he managed to make arm wrestling into a badass movie. Stallone, way better than Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger floats through Hollywood. I mean, it's a heavy float, but he floats through Hollywood. He doesn't make his movies. Stallone writes, he directs, and he makes his fucking movies. And I think he does more steroids than Arnold, which automatically gives him an edge.
I just don't see it. Stallone's great. I'm not going to bash Stallone. Stallone is one of the legends. But Arnold gives us two Terminators, which are two of, what, the top 25, 50 action movies of all time, if you count both of them?
Terminators aren't even his best movies.
He's got Predator, Total Recall, Commando.
Total Recall ranks among the top three greatest action movies of all time. I'll give Total Recall, but that's the only thing that cracks the top five in action.
Arnold is like an onion, man. Like just a muscular, muscular onion. He can go out and give you Kindergarten Cop.
Kindergarten Cop, I can get behind. Stallone has not done strong in comedies. I've watched Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, and it was the hardest. I think it was only an hour and a half, but it was the hardest 5 hours of my life trying to watch that fucking movie. If you wanted to go to comedies, which this is not a comedy podcast, I'll give Arnold comedy chops. He's got Kindergarten Cop. He's got a Jingle All the Way. He can do comedies. But Stallone can do action and then action dramas. There's always somebody getting kicked and hit in the face. So even when it's dramatic, somebody's getting hit in the face, which is what I like. Because I don't want to watch, like, The English Patient or whatever that fucking shit. I don't care about fucking emotions unless they're emotionally driven to hit somebody in the face.
You can't go wrong with either of those. What you can't go wrong with is you can't go wrong with Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze in Batman and Robin.
Love that movie. That is 100% pure puns, but my favorite pun isn't even Arnold Schwarzenegger. Despite the fact that he has the best delivery, my favorite pun in that is Chris O'Donnell, who's the worst character in that movie, because Alicia Silverstone may be fucking terrible, but she at least looks good. But Chris O'Donnell does the greatest pun ever in that movie, and he makes out with the Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy. She thinks that she has him under her Poison Ivy role, but he's like, I thought you'd turn over a new leaf. It's the greatest fucking thing ever. I love that movie. It's objectively terrible,
but in a good way.
Yeah, a good bad movie. Unlike Batman Forever, which is just a bad Batman movie.
It's a bad movie any way you slice it up. Batman movie, normal movie, superhero movie, action movie. It's just a bad movie. Enough talk about bad movies. Enough talk about Batman. Josh, give me your favorite action movie and your favorite horror movie.
That's fucking easy. RoboCop is not only the greatest action movie of all time, it is the greatest movie of all time. You got violence, you got comedy, you got Peter Weller's voice. Another thing that's my drinking is hopefully going to be able to imitate eventually down the line. Greatest action movie, greatest movie of all time. There's actually a great clip online for people if they're interested in this. They redid scene by scene of RoboCop. But it's just like amateur actors doing this. There's a scene everybody knows with the rapist holding the girl hostage, and RoboCop shoots him in the dick. He doesn't shoot her in the dick. She's good there. But in this thing online where they re-recorded all these scenes, it's violent dick shooting, and then all these rapists come out of nowhere, and RoboCop is just shooting dick after dick after dick. It's the most disgusting thing you will ever see. It's amazing. Gotta see it. Greatest horror movie of all time? Evil Dead. Bruce Campbell fucking nails it. Even though he's not who he becomes in the first movie, as he becomes in the rest of the franchise where he's all badass, he's a little bit of a wimp in the first movie, but the gore, special effects, not writing, atmosphere is what makes that movie what it is. What about you?
You know, for me, I'm gonna go back to it. Terminator 2. The greatest action movie of all time.
Seriously?
I love it. Start to finish, it's great. Annoying Connor, great. Going through the streets of LA, great. Arnold Schwarzenegger, great. Everything about it, I love it.
Hamilton, Robert Patrick, Arnold, amazing. Justin Furlong, I think this is his name. Justin Furlong, he's terrible. He annoys the hell out of me. He's supposed to be the person that when you're 12 years old, you relate to this. Like, yeah, I want to be this badass kid. But he's fucking annoying.
Yeah, but how many 12-year-old kids can you say the same thing about? How many 12-year-old kids on their Razor scooters?
Razor scooters? Did you just go back to 2008? I think you just went further back than 2008.
All the 12-year-olds thought they were so cool, but they weren't. And it's just the same thing with him, except instead of a Razor scooter, he was on a motorcycle with Arnold.
No, he's fucking annoying, terrible. There are good kid actors. Justin Furlong was not one of them. I know that I'm going to have some friends that are going to disagree with that. I know some women that crushed on Justin Furlong, but he was terrible. He's what screws up that movie, because Robert Patrick's fucking badass, Arnold's fucking badass, but you know what the real problem with the Terminator 2 is? It's machine against machine. Yes, you have Sarah Connor being badass, but the first one is machine against human, and that's where it fucking matters.
No, you're wrong. I have a feeling that this is not a debate that's going to be a one episode thing. I'm sure we're going to have to go back and revisit this.
Our future style of going to have debate episodes on this. Your favorite happens to be Terminator. Mine happens to be RoboCop. There is a Terminator vs. RoboCop comic book. I'm going to read it. I'm going to come back with facts and we can talk about who has the better action movie.
Oh, I can't wait.
We'll be open for guests on these debate episodes if anybody wants to join in on that. RoboCop versus Terminator. Arnold's cool. Arnold's cool, but he's no Peter Weller.
Before you can debate me again, moving over to my favorite horror. Horror is one of those things because people look at it that if you don't like one of the classics as your favorite horror movie, that you're not a real fan of the genre.
I feel like you're going to say something stupid here.
Everyone thinks it's got to be Halloween. Everyone thinks it's got to be Friday the 13th.
Or Evil Dead.
But there's new movies that are good too. My favorite, 2006, The Descent. My favorite horror movie for multiple reasons. First of all, exceptional movie.
I can't argue against it. I like that movie. It doesn't crack my top 10, but I can't really get angry about this one.
The best part about the movie is how it transitions. The movie starts off scary. Not because there's anything going on, because there's six people crawling through these 3x3 squares underground. Claustrophobia is a real fear. I wouldn't say I'm claustrophobic by any stretch of the imagination, but watching that movie in the theater and watching people squeak by and get stuck in the rocks is terrifying. And then they get through it, but then there's monsters. Anytime you can go from super serious claustrophobia mining movie to blood-crazed, bald people looking monster things, I'm sold. And then you got people fighting monsters, you got women fighting women. Everything about the movie is great. I've watched it so many times. It's just as good the second time. It's just as good the 22nd time. I absolutely love it.
It's a good women empowerment movie. I will give it that. I like that they have strong female characters. My only problem is the best parts of the movie are before the monsters come in. But when they get stuck trying to squeeze through tight spots, that's where I'm good. But the monsters, I honestly, they undercut the horror for me, and that's where I have a problem with the movie, is it should be the monsters are what's selling it, but it's like the monsters are kind of detracting from the horror for me.
You know, I agree with you that the best part of the movie is before they get to the monsters, but I'm not going to say that the monsters undermine the whole movie. I think the whole movie, start to finish, is great. There's two endings. The original British ending is by far the best one.
I like the downer ending, yeah.
I always like to end on a downer. I think if it's been a sad story, to try to end it all chirpy and happy kind of undermines the whole struggle that these people went through for 2 hours.
Horror, I like sad, depressing ending. Action movies, I like the big thumbs up, high five. Everything's going good. Then the bad guy gets up and they shoot him and there's like a self-righteous, yeah, you motherfucker thing kind of going on. I like that in action movies. Horror movies, the remake of Martyrs, they talked about how they didn't want you to feel like you wanted to shoot yourself in the face after you're done watching it. I want to feel like shooting myself in the face after I watch a horror movie. That's what I'm going for.
It's awful not being able to go to the theater. That really is one of my favorite things to do, and there's really no experience like it.
Fucking miss it.
Movies that you can go see in the theater, and the credits roll, and you don't hear people clapping, You don't hear people talking about what they just saw. The ones that kind of leave everyone a little uneasy as everyone's walking down the steps back to their car, those are usually the best ones.
The ones that, for me, would be shocking, I always hear somebody behind me saying, I don't get that. That was dumb. Because those are the movies that kind of go more on the pretentious side, because there's a little bit of thought involved in the horror that you're seeing.
You know, Hereditary was like that. When we saw Hereditary in the theater, you know, for the most part, it was a pretty quiet theater. But there was this obnoxiously loud group that was next to us that, as soon as the credits rolled, they were just like, what happened? That was an awful ending, blah, blah, blah. Oh my God, just let it sink in. Just breathe for a second.
We have those friends. We're probably going to have those friends on this podcast as we're talking about Yolanda eventually coming on here and telling her opinions. And she's one of those people that didn't get it. But if you shut your mouth, pay attention to the movie, don't have distractions, there's horror that you pick up subconsciously. Because what I liked about Hereditary was that you didn't notice everything right away. Like, I didn't see that there was somebody like standing in the corner there for a little while. And what was scary was, like, suddenly I picked up on it. It was like, holy fuck, that thing was right there.
And it's stuff you don't notice the first time. So, like, a lot of these movies you'll see and you'll go, oh, that was really good. And then you'll kind of rewatch it. And when you're rewatching it, you know, in the quiet of your own home, you start to notice stuff that you completely missed the first time, which adds a whole nother layer. You know, Hereditary is one of those. Another one's It Follows. Like, It Follows is a great movie.
No, it isn't. It's got a good soundtrack. They like to mimic the 70s, but it's a boring fucking movie that had a great premise. There's so many scenes that are fucking wasted in It Follows.
No, there's so many layers to It Follows. And when you rewatch it, there's so many like little callbacks and little nods to previous stuff that's happened that's great. I love it.
Nods don't make a good movie. You could make a movie that's 100% nods and it'll be garbage. Nods, that's all that It Follows was. Is it was a nod to people that like, hey, remember the 70s film? Well, we liked it too. That does not make a good movie. There's no innovation in it. They had a great premise. They had great music.
It's a great soundtrack.
It does have a great sound. It's one of the better soundtracks from a movie that I've heard in years. But it's a boring movie. Like, there were so many scenes like, this is getting suspenseful. Something's going to fucking happen. Nothing happened. And I get playing with suspense is a good thing, but I felt like that movie was 100% playing with suspense and no payoff.
It came out in a time where everything was jump scare. It was in the time of prime PG-13 horror films where everything was leading up to someone jumping around the corner or the big noise around the window or anything like that. And to have something where it kind of played with you for an hour and a half waiting for something big to happen and it's all kind of, you know, on the low, I think kind of makes it stand out for that time period.
Fake jump scare thing has been going on pretty much since the 70s. There's always going to be the fake jump scares, and that's bad. That undercuts the horror, because once you get enough jump scares, you're no longer feeling the suspense in your chest. They're finally going to have something happen, but you're not primed anymore. It Follows basically was building up the suspense in your chest and never doing anything with it.
That's what makes it stand out.
I guess we'll rewatch that shit too.
So, you know, we're talking about horror, Josh, and clearly our tastes are a little bit different. Who's your Mount Rushmore when it comes to horror icons?
For me, horror peaked in the 80s, but you gotta acknowledge where horror came from. Dracula, Bela Lugosi, fucking sucks, so you can't put him on there. I actually like Frankenstein. Who was Frankenstein? I'm blanking on his name right now. And it's something that I should fucking know. Well, the Frankenstein movies are good. You put the original OG Frankenstein up there, but you cannot put all the classic horror monsters. I know they're the ones that built it up, but they're not you can't put the whole thing Frankenstein, Mummy, Dracula, whatever. You gotta go. Frankenstein, you throw him up. Then you go into the 80s. And on the top of the 80s for horror icons, you gotta go with Jason Voorhees made the 80s more than any other killer. But you can't go just 80s. You gotta go into the 90s. I think you gotta go a little bit different. Actually, you know what? Backtrack. I was gonna go right into the 90s, but I almost forgot. We gotta get a good guy in there. Because it's not all horror villains. So we got Frankenstein, we got Jason, you need Ash Williams, or Ashley Williams if you want to go off the first one. So that's 3 out of 4 of them. And then for the final one, closer to now times, I'm going to go Tobin Bell, Jigsaw. So Frankenstein, the monster, not the fucking doctor, Jason Voorhees, Ash Williams, and Jigsaw.
Jigsaw, really?
You gotta go Jigsaw. Jigsaw was very fucking important to horror. The whole torture porn thing came off of the Saw films. They're better movies than they're giving credit. I can't wait to see Sam Jackson and Chris Rock's movie.
What came out first? Was it Saw or was it Eli Roth's movie?
Hostel?
Yeah.
It was Saw. Saw was way more important than Hostel. Eli Roth sees something he likes and he tries to mimic it.
He's great at that.
He's at it. He's not good at it, but he does it. Eli Roth does not make good movies. He appreciates good movies. Like, I can see his influences. Like, him and Rob Zombie, they both got great influences. Not so great on the execution.
I love hearing Eli Roth talk about movies. I don't particularly like to watch movies that Eli Roth has done.
Exactly. Like, I appreciate him as a fan. He should be, like, hosting documentaries on horror movies. He should not be making horror movies, because I can't think of one that he's actually done well.
Ooh, that's a tough one. You could argue that Hostel's not a terrible movie.
It's a watchable movie, but it's not like well-done movie. There's like 45 minutes of that movie could have been teen comedy.
Yeah, no, I won't argue with that.
Honestly, that's where he excels, is in the comedy. Like, when we saw Green Inferno, I was expecting Cannibal Holocaust. But right. What we got was a comedy where people are shitting in cages.
Which was a complete 180. Like, we got in the theater, and, you know, some of the people that we were in there with, you could tell they had no idea what movie they signed up for, because it got to the point where there was feces being thrown all over the place, and the people, a couple rows from them, you could tell were just audibly grossed out from what they were seeing.
Yeah, they were grossed out. We've seen worse. We've seen dick monsters and trauma movies. We've also seen Cannibal Holocaust. That's the movies those should have been emulating, and he turned it into, like, the Scary Movie, the franchise. That, like, it could have been Scary Movie 6, we're doing Cannibal Holocaust. And that's what that turned into. It's a comedy. It was actually a funny movie. It wasn't a good horror movie.
Yeah, it wasn't what we thought it was, but it wasn't terrible. Not a great horror movie, but like you said, a good movie. Quick question about history here. How many faces are on Mount Rushmore?
There are four.
Is there?
You know what? I should fucking know, because I've been to Mount Rushmore.
I've never been. So you could have told me four, and I probably would have agreed with you.
It's a good way to fill in the silence.
Everyone has just waited on bated breath for you to figure out how many faces on Mount Rushmore. I regret asking that question.
There's four faces on Mount Rushmore. There's Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and Guy.
And Guy? Fieri?
Theodore Roosevelt. He's the one that doesn't fucking matter.
All right, so thank you for taking us on that big 10-minute search.
Of the horror ones, Jigsaw is Theodore Roosevelt. He matters the least. Whatever action Rushmore you have, your last one is Theodore Roosevelt, and he doesn't matter. He didn't save slaves. He wasn't the first of anything. That's your criteria.
You're alienating a part of our following that are big Teddy Roosevelt fans.
Nobody's a Teddy Roosevelt fan. Well, actually, I think he was supposed to be a badass. He's an irrelevant badass. Did he wrestle a bear? I feel like he wrestled a bear.
All right, before we get too far into history, because this is not a history podcast, as far as my Mount Rushmore goes, obviously Stallone, obviously Schwarzenegger. You know, you can debate about who's one or two, but they're both there. This is where things get a little hazy. You could go Bruce Willis. He's been in a lot. Some people like Tom Cruise. I happen to not be one of those people.
I was going to say, you cannot put Tom Cruise on your Mount Rushmore. I will end this. I will turn this podcast around if you put Tom Cruise on your Mount Rushmore.
So, I grew up on Westerns, and I'm a firm believer that Westerns are also action movies. The whole point of a Western is there's people with guns, and they're shooting guns off of horses. To me, that's an action movie.
I'll be covering Westerns on this podcast for sure.
So, just for that, Unforgiven, Outlaw Josie Wales, Hang 'Em High, which is one of my favorites. Going through Clint Eastwood movies, he's on my Mount Rushmore. He's not a conventional. People don't always think of him as this big action star. But Unforgiven, Hang 'Em High, those are great, great action westerns. Western actions.
There were one of two from that era that, I guess you could say three from the era. You have to have somebody from that era. I don't agree with your choice, but go on.
And then last one, I'm going to go Jean-Claude Van Damme.
JCVD.
JCVD, because that man was committed to what he did. He threw kicks, he acted poorly, and he did it a lot.
He's actually not a bad actor anymore, though. He's gotten good, but he's gotten less flexible. Go on, go on.
Bloodsport, Kickboxer, Time Cop. Jean-Claude Van Damme's going to be my fourth out there on Mount Rushmore.
Say Hard Target, his best movie. Well, he punches a snake in the face, and then he uses it as a trap. Action, I like Clint Eastwood, but I go Charles Bronson is way more badass than Clint Eastwood ever was.
Clint Eastwood would kick Charles Bronson's ass.
Bullshit. Clint Eastwood talks to chairs. He does not kick ass. Charles Bronson has a cooler voice, bigger mustache. That's enough. Charles Bronson for Once Upon a Time in the West, better than Clint Eastwood. He was Sergio Leone's first choice before Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood was his backup for a reason. And we will be going over the Death Wish movies eventually, 1 through 5. My George Washington. My Thomas Jefferson, we're going to go into the 80s. Yeah, we're going to go in the 80s on that. Thomas Jefferson is Stallone. I think you had Stallone in there too. So definitely going Stallone for my Thomas Jefferson. He's important. He wrote his shit. He understands it. He embraces it. He didn't go off into politics. He stuck with his guns. So Stallone is my Thomas Jefferson. My Lincoln is going to be, I hate to do this because Jean-Claude Van Damme's the better action star. Knows his martial arts. No. Back it up. Jefferson is Bruce Lee. So we got Charles Bronson, Jefferson, Bruce Lee, then Stallone. And now for our Theodore Roosevelt, and this fits perfectly. I don't have to feel bad about it. The one action star who makes good movies, but is fucking terrible, is Steven Seagal. So Steven Seagal is my Theodore Roosevelt. So we got Charles Bronson, Bruce Lee, Stallone, Steven Seagal. That's a solid stick-in for the Mount Rushmore. Perfect analogy. Yours is terrible.
I think you just took mine and then looked for the backups for each of those roles, and that's who you ended up with. Like, you saw that I had Schwarzenegger. You're like, you know who would be good there? Stallone. I had Eastwood. You know who would be good?
There was thought involved in this. You couldn't even tell which president yours was for. You just, like, stuck faces onto a mountain. I constructed those faces and put them on a mountain.
No Bruce Willis?
I love Bruce Willis, but he's not a Steven Seagal. He doesn't fit into the Stallone era. He doesn't fit into the Bronson era. He's badass, but honestly, he's a dick. He doesn't appreciate his action roles anymore. He's become that guy that's like, I do the action movies so I can pay for my art films. He doesn't even fucking do art films, but he says that.
What about Harrison Ford? I had a moment where I wanted to put Harrison Ford there.
I like Harrison Ford. He doesn't feel like an action star to me. We will go over adventure films because they kind of loosely fit into the genre. Like Indiana Jones fits the adventure film, but it's not an action film. His only movie that feels like an action film to me is Air Force One, which is incredible.
Great movie.
But it's not innovated. They already did it with the Executive Decision. Under Siege did it. It's Bruce Willis's Die Hard on a plane, but he's president. Which, honestly, I want somebody to do a parody with Donald Trump on Air Force One with terrorists and see if they can make that work. I feel like it'd be fucking hilarious.
One more question before we go. You're casting a movie about Donald Trump, terrorist, Air Force One. Who's playing Donald Trump?
Oh, shit. You're giving me something I didn't even fucking think of. Paul Giamatti's still alive, right?
I believe so.
Okay, Paul Giamatti's my action star in this movie, then. We got Paul Giamatti, Air Force One. Get off my plane. That's not a good Donald Trump at all, but that's my Donald Trump. Get off my plane.
I hope people come back despite your loose renditions of voiceovers.
I feel like that's a good movie right there.
It's got to be Alec Baldwin. He does it on SNL. You can't tell me he wouldn't make an awesome movie.
I like Alec Baldwin. SNL actors are not doing they're definitely not doing action stuff. They're not doing impressions. They're just doing themselves, making fun of them poorly. It's like when I was in high school and making fun of a teacher. I wouldn't ever sound like the teacher. I'd do a stupid voice and say, "I'm Mrs. Harmon." That's what the SNL characters are doing. They're not really selling it. So no, I'm sorry. Alec Baldwin's cool, but he's not my president.
All right, guys. That should be pretty much it for us. We have talked, we have ranted, we have listened to Josh's ridiculous impressions for far too long. If you're still with us at this point, thank you. You're a better person than we are. Please come back.
We're not desperate. Come back if you feel like it.
We got a lot coming up. Debates. You clearly could tell we like to debate. We got a lot of movie franchises that we want to go through. Some double features. We got a lot that we're working on, and we hope you guys are into it.
Exactly. Try to keep this interesting. Extra special thank you to Soul Grinder, who allowed us to use their music for the intro and the outro. I've seen them live. They're fucking badass. It's like King Diamond with an extra dose of testosterone, despite the fact that they're fronted by a badass, kind of short woman. Make sure to check them out. Make sure to check out the Marrowgate and their other band from the drummer, Dismal Reverie. Tune in next week when we go over Upgrade, starring Logan Marshall Green.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Bloody Good Film Podcast to stay up to date with everything podcast related and to let us know what you think about some of these films that we watch each and every week. As always, big thank you to Soul Grinder for our intro and outro. If you haven't yet, make sure you guys go give their pages a follow at Soul Grinder Official and at Marrowgate. For myself and Josh, this has been the Bloody Good Film Podcast. And remember,
be bullying, buddy.